Hello, hello, hello. Got a brand new hour of stand-up material. Things have been getting wild at my shows. I've kind of been going crazy on stage, so you want to see it. We have January 26th to the 28th in Phoenix at Stand Up Live. Those shows are almost sold out, so go get tickets, chrisdcomedy.com. We've added Cleveland, February 1st and the 2nd. It's a Wednesday, Thursday. One show is, two out of the four are already sold out. They sold out in like a couple of days, so if you want to come to those late shows, February 1st and 2nd in Cleveland, get the tickets now. We've added Stamford, Connecticut, February 16th to the 17th. I'm doing the Italian Woman's got a new club that he wrote me into doing, so I got to do that. Two shows February 16th, two shows February 17th. That show's probably going to be wild because I don't really care about it, so I'm going to like probably go off the deep end on stage, and you're going to want to be there in Stamford, Connecticut, but it will be my brand new hour. February 22nd, Vancouver, I'm opening up the Just for Laughs Vancouver Comedy Festival, and then we're going to add February 25th, I think February 24th, 25th, 26th will be Napa, San Jose, and Sacramento. Tickets might be on sale right now. They might not, but Napa, San Jose, Sacramento, we're coming February 24th, 25th, 26th. And then we got West Palm Beach, baby, Florida, March 28th to the 29th, and Miami Beach, March 31st. All those shows are almost sold out. Austin, Texas, April 12th, I'm opening up the Moon Tower Comedy Festival. That show is like halfway sold out, so you got to get tickets now. And then May 5th, Buffalo, New York. I believe we're adding a show at the Buffalo State Performing Arts Center on May 5th. ChrisdComedy.com for Tiki Wikis. More dates coming soon. And I'm telling you, I've been going crazy on stage. Ask anybody who came to the New Orleans, Dallas, Houston shows. It's been wild. Veer, baby. Damn. Bring him in.
Hello, buddy. How are
Let's
you?
Get Veer in here. Oh, we got you a coffee, too. You got double coffees. What's up, Mr. Veer?
Thank you for doing this, man.
Of course. Thank you for having me. Let's go. Sit down. We get right. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Let's go take this jacket.
Do you have to pee?
No.
This is all on the show. Well, look at Veer. Sexy. Looks good. Dresses good. I like it, dude.
Right?
I like it. You got good. You're one of those guys who you look like. Like, this is very fashionable, and you're put together, but it looks like you just threw it together at the last minute. You know what I'm trying to say? That's a positive thing.
Says the gorgeous white man with the blue eyes and nice hair.
Yes.
I'll take that compliment.
That's it, baby. Yes. The Nazis are back in a good way. Are we on? Is he on? Oh, you're good. All right. Everybody, Veer Das.
Hello.
Literally, Veer Das is, let me tell you something, Veer. First of all, we met in Montreal.
In the green room,
In the green room a few months ago. I loved it. I love that you were there. Homeless Pimp was there. And it was great. It was great to have you there because then it means we didn't have to go downstairs and talk to Joe DeRosa. So it was great that you we got to hang out with you.
Yeah.
And let me and then you know, your special came out.
Mm-hmm.
Landing. And let me tell you something. Veer Das' special right now is on Netflix, Landing. And here we never really review specials here. We never do that. You know, we have comics on, but we always get, you know, we're silly. And we'll be silly today. But let me tell you, seriously, I watched that special front to back. And I was like, this is genuinely one of the best comedy specials I've seen ever. And it was also some of the like killing from start to finish with things that actually mattered about your life and mattered about society. It was one of those things. I remember when I started taking, when I got into stand-up in whatever it is, 2009, 10, I took a comedy class, right? Mm-hmm. My mom got me a comedy class to get in. And they said the best comics, the comedy teacher was like, what you want to do in comedy is you want, after somebody sees you, they feel like they know about your life. They know who you are. You've educated them on who you are. And I would always try to do that or look for comics that do that. And it's rare you see it. But I feel like after watching that special, I was like, I know about Veer Das's life and I want to marry him.
Yeah.
Yes. And then I found out that you had a wife and I was like, I want to go find a way to get her out of the picture. And marry you.
If you figure out how to do it, let me know because I want to get her out of the picture.
Yeah. Well, dude, it sounds like from your wife and my, it sounds like I have Puerto Rican wife. It sounds like a Puerto Rican wife and Indian wives are very similar.
I think they run hot.
Yes.
All the time. And my wife is one of these. She's a badass event manager.
Okay.
Right. So she used to run like India's Rolling Stone magazine. So she's done like Megadeth concerts and like Herbie Hancock concerts. And then she married me and became a crystal healer and a tarot reader.
Really? Yeah. That's like mine. Jasmine had this great job and then she, you know, we're together now and now she's a spin instructor.
There you go. So you go in thinking you're going to get their skill set and it's going to benefit you. They're like, no, fuck it, I'm done.
Well, I do have a tighter ass because of her now because I'm on that spin bike. Pimp, did you see Veer's special?
No, I didn't get a chance to. I'm sorry.
Please do.
I will though.
Well, yeah. Well, do you want me to kill him?
Yeah.
Okay. Please do it. Sorry. Venetia,
our Veerdas, our Venetia, our staff member whose name begins with a V, she saw it. And let me be honest with you. And don't take this the wrong way because I was trying to figure out how to articulate this in a positive way. And I'm sure it's the same for American comics as well. But I just was thinking about this. I was like, oh, I should mention this. So a lot of times. Mm-hmm. Again, because, you know, Americans can be snooty with the comedy. They're like, this is our art form. You know, we've been doing this in every American comic and blah, blah, blah. And it's bullshit, but you hear it. But a lot of times what happens is, say, take the Comedy Cellar, which is the, you know, top comedy club in New York City. You'll have comics sitting around and being like, oh, I saw on Netflix so-and-so foreign comic, so hacky, such bullshit. Yeah. Because, you know, the comedians, the American comics think, oh, whatever joke a foreign comic is doing, we had that premise 5 years ago. Yeah. It's just a thing, right? Yeah. It's BS, but you hear it a lot. And so I heard at the Comedy Cellar, and I agreed with this, multiple comics saying, hey, Veer Das is one of those guys. His comedy special, it wasn't that he got a comedy special and people were laughing and loving it because he was Indian and it's like everybody just wants, you know, everybody other than a straight white male to do well these days. It was, he just is a great comic that happens to be Indian. And I don't know if that's I don't know how you feel about me saying that. I don't know if that's, I don't even know if is that offensive, not offensive, because I'm like, it just was, you're just a great comic despite you just happen to be Indian. And it's like an extra bonus on top.
Well, dude, like my favorite thing is to go to the Comedy Cellar. Yeah. Right? I've only been working there like 6 months. And then when I do a night.
Really?
Yeah.
You've been there? I thought you're one of those guys who were in there for years. No. And then you go home to India and come back.
No, I just got past there 6 months ago. Right. So I like the idea of doing a night. And then the other comics are like, there's a lot of brown people here tonight.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
And you go from being there like, oh, it's the Indian guy who sells Indian tickets to then comedians be like, no, man, come sit down.
Yes.
And then the conversation isn't so much about just India or anything. It's just about stand-up. So, like, I love that. And the reason I work the Cellar is because you want to get better, right? You want to play tennis with people who are fucking better than you to get better at tennis.
Yeah.
So, because like, I love that club.
And you really, like, and I haven't seen you live there yet, but after watching the special, I was like, oh, next time, because, you know, Nimesh Patel, I just watch his stuff on TikTok.
Dude, he's amazing.
And I'm not going to sit there and watch his 15 minutes. I'm going to throw him through the fucking window.
Yeah.
Nimesh. And Hasan Minhaj is my next president. I vote. Hasan Minhaj is the 47th president of the United States.
You need big empathetic eyes to be the president of the United States. So when you look in the camera, everybody's like, I want to sleep with you. I believe you. And I would sleep peacefully at night.
I feel like Hasan Minhaj would be the president. He'd be like the Barack Obama. You're like our elegant, like, you know, he's the pres. And then you're like our, you know, fucking guy that like riles us up. Like,
I'm your head of national security.
Head of national security. And then Nimesh Patel is Hunter Biden.
Just stealing documents.
Yeah, just doing mushrooms. Just fucking letting down his Indian
parents.
Putting
documents on TikTok.
But dude, I love the you know, I was laughing out loud, and then I like the kind of the through line of it where you're like, you know, home is where you feel safe.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So in the first 5 minutes, would you consider this home? Do you feel safe?
In New York?
No, in my podcast studio.
I do. Yeah. Here, yes. New York, fuck no. But it's like Mumbai. Like Mumbai and New York are the only two places where we are like unfazed by any danger until it's real danger.
Right.
You know, like in Mumbai and New York, I think like a guy could walk into the room with a knife and be like, I'm gonna fucking kill everyone.
Right.
And we'll all be like, he had more energy last week. You know, like he's losing it a bit.
Well, and you know, too, from listening, again, it's a great special because, again, educates about you, but also educates about India. And I found myself, and I've thought about this before, but I really found myself thinking this, where it's like, you know, in America, you know, now you hear, you know, everyone's got a mental health issue. Everybody's got a problem. Everybody's a narcissist. And you're like, are we like this way because things are just so good in this country? Because then you hear about the problems in India. Mm-hmm. And I was wondering, and I wanted to ask you, in India, do you find the same things we have? Does everybody have a mental health issue? Does everybody, you know, get upset at everything? Or is in India, sometimes things are, life is really hard there in certain parts of the country that they just figure out ways to get past it. And they don't worry about, you know, the things that we get all hung up on here in America, like cancel culture.
I mean, my thing on cancel culture, I think you've seen in the special as well, is it's very cute. You know?
Well, some certain parts of the special I did miss because I was autoerotic asphyxiating myself. So I would pass out and come and then wake up and then, but I did make it through.
All right. So I think we have the same mental health issues. I think we have, but we're just kind of trained to like keep our head down and get the work done and like not express ourselves. You know, and I think that's something we're working with. But like, I was telling somebody this the other day. I feel like America is like, you're like the hot girl from high school who's now back at the reunion.
Yeah.
And you're surprised that everybody else is hot too.
you're like, wait,
when did India get hot?
Yeah. India's hot.
China's the principal now.
I love India. No, they
have
know.
You been, by the way?
No, I haven't been. I have not been to India. I've been to certain parts of Queens, New York.
Nice, yeah. Which is the same.
Same.
Less sand, as many Indians.
Yes. But I, you know, that we have talked about as many times in this podcast, my thing has been, and even Jasmine, my girl, she gets very mad at this when she sees in the search engine. I personally like, I don't know what it is. I like a chubby Indian. I put chubby Indian MILF in the search
engine.
That's
your porn thing?
That's my point. And she saw it once. And she, anytime she sees an Indian woman who's a little bit on the chubbier side, but, you know, has a really pretty face, she gets very upset.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she's Puerto Rican?
She's Puerto Rican with nice tit tats.
Which we have naturally also. No, I think, ironically, I've never put chubby Indian MILF into a search engine ever.
Try it tonight.
Yeah.
Are you going back to Mumbai? Tonight?
I'll jack off on the flight.
You gonna jack off on the flight?
Absolutely.
Dude, I've never done that.
You've never jacked off on a flight?
No.
How short are your flights, man?
No, well, I've never...
Ooh, your five-hour flights. You can hold it in for 5 hours.
I know. I feel like India is so big, people take five-hour flights to like go to work.
Right? Like my flight tonight is 29 hours.
29 hours?
16 and a half hours to Dubai, and then 4 hours in Dubai, and then home. So I will jack off probably twice.
Can you watch my special, Speci Weshi, while you're doing it?
Done.
Thank you.
They have Wi-Fi on the plane. I'll just be easy. In there.
Yeah, we don't have Wi-Fi in the studio, but sorry about that. We don't. That's why we can't pull up
you
articles.
You have a great location for this studio. Like,
thank
this
you.
Is upmarket New York.
Yes.
Everybody down is like an investment banker or a model.
It's
like
what it is.
Yeah, man.
We got in there and the owner, all I have to do for the owner is once a year tweet out his charity. Like a bullshit, you know, a great charity.
His tax evasion.
His tax evasion charity. We can use this studio. But the issue is sometimes the Wi-Fi goes out. So we don't have Wi-Fi.
This would also be like a great New York apartment. I just want to say this is the right size for fucking anything.
Oh, no, don't get, I genuinely believe Venetia sleeps here. Our girl who works, I believe she's, every time I call her, she's like, I'm in the studio, I'm waiting for a delivery. I'm like, it's 3 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday.
Could you paint that backdrop while you're at it?
I know. We are obviously we're under construction here, but I so much construction happening in Mumbai, fastest growing city in the world. I said, this will make Veer feel at home.
Right.
Under construction, just like at home. New York, do you know that? What was the other city? A random one like Charlotte and some other cities. One of the most construction projects in the world.
By the way, rent in Mumbai is more expensive than rent in New York.
Really?
So then I meet people from New York and they're like, are you dealing with the rent? So I'm like, oh, that's cute. Like, you know.
Really? So I never knew that. So
Mumbai, San Francisco, London, and I think then New York.
Wow.
I think that's how it goes.
Mumbai's number one.
I think Mumbai might be number one or number two. San Francisco might actually be number one.
How many rupee Pauls to live in a nice apartment in Mumbai?
I want to say like a really nice apartment would be...
A Veer Das apartment. How much?
$4,500 to $6,000, I think.
$6,000. How many rupees is that?
That is 460,000 rupees.
That's a lot of Yeezys.
Yeah. And then, right, there you go. By the way, no one in India is buying Yeezys.
No,
they
right?
just look like melted Nikes. I'm
yes,
sorry.
I know. I never liked the Yeezys either.
Yeah.
Yeah. I never was a fan of the Yeezys. You know what's interesting about Kanye West is I understand all the drama and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, sure.
Sure. But I still like listen to his music and kind of don't feel bad. I just like his music.
Have you seen the Michael Jackson musical, by the way, in New York?
No, I haven't, but I would go with my kids.
I went, all right?
Oh, yeah.
And they never talk about it, right? Right? Like, he just comes on and he looks stressed and he's like, I'm having issues. The way you make me. They just go into a thing.
Well, because it's one of those things where it's like, yeah, it's like these, it's like we pick and choose what people from the past we want to like get mad at, but it's like, you know, R. Kelly out, I get it. But like Michael Jackson and Kanye West, I don't know that they'll ever go away.
So if Ignition comes on, you're not grooving to Ignition? Because I am.
No. Yeah. Literally, I just told Pimp before this, I'm taking new pre-workout,
okay,
which is like gets me like really like pumped up. And I blast, I believe I can fly after I drink this pre-workout.
While you're working out?
Yeah. Because it just gets me pumped. Now,
I'm just picturing you in the gym, like teary-eyed, like, you know, weights in your hands.
I swear to Christ, I was in the gym having, I believe I could fly off my pre-workout. Then I would stop down. And when I was doing sit-ups, I was listening to Veer Das tell me that where home is where safety is.
Nice, man. Like, I'm a Rage Against the Machine guy myself. Like, that's my thing.
Yeah, well, you did. When we were talking in Montreal, you are into like rock and roll. Like,
weren't
you in a band?
Yeah.
He was in a band.
Yeah.
Wow. What's the name of the band?
It's called Alien Chutney.
Alien Chutney.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's
okay.
A good name, right?
I like that fucking name.
My first band was called Bad Attitude. Which, haven't we all been in bad attitude at some point in our lives?
Oh, 100%. Yeah. I mean, my kids have a bad attitude right now.
How many kids you got?
I have two biological daughters and then a stepson. So 2.5 kids.
Good man.
Yes.
Nice.
Yes. Do you have kids?
I have no kids. Well,
you're pulling out.
Yeah, man.
What's the now? Are you trying not to have children?
I felt like, you know, there's a lot of Indians. I don't know.
Indians are, there's a lot of, you know, same. Normally, Indians have a lot of children.
Yeah.
I call them the Puerto Ricans of Asia.
Yeah. No birth control, no pulling out, running hard.
where it all came from is like, you know, the sedition charge. Yeah. In India. So, you know, that must have been, you got on a plane.
Yeah.
Going back to India, 29 hours, or where were we flying from?
I was flying from New York.
So imagine like today you're leaving knowing that there is a 99% chance you're going to get arrested as soon as you land.
Well, not 99, but I had many police complaints filed against me. Now, how that works is like anyone can walk into a police station as you can here and file a complaint, right? And then it's on to the police to say, do we think this is real or do we not think this is real? And what happened with me was I did this.
What would you do, by the way, if you found out half of those complaints were from Nimesh Patel's TikTok? He was trying to take you out because he was like, you're getting too much steam.
I got on the flight and I didn't know if the police would honor the complaints or not honor the complaints. And then I landed and we'd just been getting outrage for like 10 days straight. So I put my phone off. So it took 40 days before I found out the police was like, this isn't real. We're not going to take action at all. So they really just kind of backed me up and had common sense. But it was touch and go there for a while where you don't know.
But you were genuinely on a plane being like, I'm going to go to prison.
I thought definitely that I might be summoned or like questioned.
Now, in India, if you went to prison for real, like, would you be able to get out with like a desk appearance, or they're going to keep you in jail and make you like a political prisoner?
I'd be out very, like, there's something called anticipatory bail that you can apply for as well. So I would have been out quick, I think.
Right.
You know, we were prepped for like all circumstances, but like nothing happened. Like, that's also the theme of the special as well, is, you know, have you ever faced like outrage or like people kind of coming at you on the internet, etc.? Like,
yes.
You feel like you're the center of the universe in that second.
Yes.
And if you can just take a fucking breath.
Yeah.
And like, my lawyer was like, it's a 6-day news cycle.
Yep.
And if you're on the news on the 7th day, you're fucked.
Right. Truthfully.
Then there's nothing helping.
Right.
If you're going from 7 to 10 days.
Right.
But if you're done in like 5 or 6 days, then that was your time in the sun. Go to the back of the line and it'll be somebody else's time in the sun until it's yours again. On the 6th day morning, almost like somebody fucking turned a light off.
Wow.
I stopped trending. I was off the news.
Right.
Everything.
Wow, just right away.
Yeah.
Because the Bible says on the seventh day. See?
Yeah.
You should be a Christian.
This was a Christian thing. Yes. Yeah, absolutely. It was him going, see?
See? Our God's better than the Hindu God. No.
Dude, I used to date a Christian girl. So I went to college in Galesburg, Illinois.
Oh, right? My God.
Yeah.
Because they must have been happy to see you.
Right? No, it was a bunch of Indian kids.
Oh, really?
Because financial aid, right?
Financial aid, yes,
so,
yes, yes.
So you land in Chicago, and then you're like, you know, this is going to be like Van Wilder. You're like all those movies that I saw. And then you leave and then it's just field.
Yes.
College. And when you get there, it's like this wonderful sort of diverse college. And this girl was conservative Christian who would pray for my soul every night. Because if I didn't accept Jesus as the Son of the Lord, sure, I was going to hell.
Yeah.
And to try and get laid in that situation was not... happening. And I remember, like, remember the tsunami?
Sure.
That happened, I think, 2004 or 2005?
Yes, in Sri Lanka.
In Sri Lanka.
Yeah, it's right? Killed like so, like, that tsunami killed like 400,000 people.
All right. Well, this is going to get crazy. Me canceled, but I remember my first thought.
Clip it. Get ready to clip. Zoom in on his face, please.
All right. When the tsunami happened,
send this to the Indian police when he lands.
My first thought when the tsunami happened, I was like, she finally had sex. Like, somewhere in the world, like the butterfly effect, she yeah, had sex somewhere. And then that caused a tsunami across the world.
Yeah, pray for their souls. It's one of those things where, like, you know, you come because I get nervous and miss my family when I'm like,
oh, yeah, man,
flying to like another city. I'm like, I don't know if I could do this. Will they like me? Will they know me? But you are literally, you came from a place where you've left your country so many times and like have just had to, like, you know, go to college somewhere else, make a name for yourself somewhere else, like do all these things. Do you think at some point in your life you'll just want to, like, just stay in Mumbai?
I think I might retire in like Edinburgh.
Okay.
Like that's my happy place in the world.
Right.
And I also grew up in Africa, so I might go back to Africa.
What? You grew up in Africa as well? What country in Africa?
Lagos, Nigeria.
Wow. So how did that come about? Did your parents...
So whenever I'm happy, my parents move me. Like, that's basically... So, like, they can smell that. Like, he looks fucking happy. Let's fuck with this guy. So when I was a year old, I got taken to Africa and my dad made pre-cut tomato pulp and potatoes. Like, that's what he did there.
Okay.
And Nigeria for 8 years, then private school in India, private school to public school in Delhi, Delhi to Illinois... Illinois, back to Mumbai, and then now back and forth. So I've just kind of always been this outsider guy.
Where do you see the most racism in the world?
I want to say Scandinavian countries.
Got it. Yeah.
You know, because everybody's like,
yes,
everybody's like 9 feet tall. You know, so if you go in, there's like a 5'7" brown man with a beard. They're like, no, not fun.
I always think about that. Like, where is, like, truly the most racist place? And I guess, a place like Scandinavia, who they are like, they are the closest country to be like, we are trying to carry on Hitler's wish.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
We are trying and it's not working, but we're trying.
And it's conflicting because you feel the racism, but you would also bang like 90% of them. You're like, I hate you, but I want to climb you.
Well, I love the first 5 minutes of your special. I love the jokes, just like making fun of the queen, shitting on the queen. She hadn't even died yet by the time you filmed.
No,
that,
she had died.
Oh, she had died. Because you don't even really mention that.
Yeah.
Right. So I didn't know that she had died yet. But I was like, because I, to be honest with you, even though I love history, so I've realized, you know, over the past 6 months and trying to get better, is like my history is very regional. Like, I know a lot about the original 13 colonies of America, and I know a lot about the British Empire as it applies to the 13 colonies and then the United States, that, and the Civil War in the United States. But I never know much about, you know, or think much about, like, how much the British Empire, I mean, fucking, like, India was like the original slaves. Like, they were like the original slaves.
We have footed the bill for, like, the Industrial Revolution in the world. We really have.
Yeah.
So I was in England, in London, the day the Queen died, and I was touring. Wow. I was in Glasgow, right?
Started jerking off at 2 p.m. Yeah,
Finally. No, but then they were like, we need to cancel the show out of respect. And I'm like, there's 1,000 Indians coming to the show tonight. They won't mind.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I promise you.
Yeah.
It might be a better show.
Yeah, yeah, they're going to come dressed like it's New Year's Eve. Like, they are excited. They're soaked like a tsunami.
And we're in Scotland as well, who would also be equally excited.
Yeah, they don't give a shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's because I... So did you grow up with, like, a hatred for the, like, British Empire still? Or is that kind of like...
Yeah, man, because we're not an old country. We're close to 80 years. So we just got handed over our country by these guys. So there is that legacy. And it's also not... It was cultural theft, economic theft, and zero... The amount of rhetoric there is around, or discourse there is around reparations or slavery in America, you talk about it. Right?
Sure.
I feel like the oppression...
Well, I don't.
Yeah, I know you don't.
I mean, I don't. I support it, but I'm just like, I should go now.
But there's no discourse around what happened to us. Because it's still young. So we hope for that to be addressed publicly at some point. Give our diamonds back and say sorry. Yeah. Like, I think that's the...
Right. Because sometimes I feel where I'm like, listening to all my, the beauty about doing comedy, and getting travel the world, travel the country, you start to see so many different people's stories. Yeah. Like my friends from home, great hearts, but they stay in the same neighborhood. So they have this distorted view of what the world is. They can't understand any other race's plight, or they can't see, like, because they're like, oh, everything's fine. They should be fine. They're firemen here. They're cops here. Everything's fine. It's like, no, you don't understand, like, how much the world, like, what a narrow view of the world you can have, even living in New York. So I feel blessed that I'm like, oh, I get to learn, stuff from all these other people. But I feel like now sometimes I'm like, it just feels like me, like I'm a straight white guy. And even though my family, like my heritage, I'm like second generation American. They came from Ireland. They came from Germany. Mm-hmm. I'm just like, man, like I'm growing up in a world where it's like, everybody's like, hey, you straight white male piece of shit. Everything that now it's time that you fucking feel the burn. And I feel like I'm living in a time where you don't know, a black person living in the 1800s didn't choose what time they lived in, and they lived in a horrible time because if they were living in America, they would be enslaved. But the ones that fought back, their names went down in history, Harriet Tubman and Frederick Douglass and all those things. And I'm going to be the white person that fights back. I'm the white Harriet Tubman is what I'm telling you.
Done. So you're done paying the price for your ancestors' actions, right?
I'm done.
You're done.
I'm asking for asylum in the Virdas household. If the attack comes on the whites, will you protect me?
I will not only give you asylum, I will give you reparations.
Which is what I deserve. All right, Kiwico folks, I'm Chrissy Kiwico. I love this product. If you have kids, this is the best. It gets them off their laptops, gets them away from the TV, limits their screen time. It basically, Kiwico sends you a kit of fun things to build and design with your kids. Me and my kids have made headphones. We made like this volcano island. We do all this great stuff. And I think Kiwico, right now they have even more. They have even more new packs, new kits that they've designed that they're sending to you. They have science, magic, math stuff. They have all these, like I said, the headphones, actual practical stuff that you can use that my kids love. High quality materials, real engineering, science, and art projects for children. Literally, me and Delilah, this is what we do all the time. I actually only hang out and talk to my child when we're doing a Kiwico project, and I refuse to talk to my family if there's not Kiwico in front of us. So it brings families together, and it'll even bring you back together. Even if you're divorced, as a dad, sometimes when you're a divorced dad, you don't know what the hell to do with your kids. Kiwico can help you out with that. I love Kiwico. It's awesome. And for the Chrissy Chaos listeners, right now, if you go to Kiwico, that's Kiwico.com/chaos, you're going to get 50% off your first month. 50% off your first month on any crate line at Kiwico.com/chaos. I cannot tell you how much I love this product, especially if you have kids, or maybe even if you don't have kids, you just like want to make stuff. Just go to Kiwico.com/chaos, 50% off your first month. It's awesome. hold on, ShipStation, make ship happen. Literally, if you're running a business and you're not using ShipStation, I'm going to come right out and say it, you're an asshole. You need to use ShipStation. We use it here. It makes all your mailing things out, making labels. ShipStation has you covered. It's literally awesome. ShipStation helps get you there faster, whether you run a side hustle or a giant warehouse. It doesn't matter whether you got a little side hustle or you're running a giant warehouse and you're in the Russian mafia, ShipStation. Even I bet you criminals use ShipStation in a legal way. ShipStation is awesome, and their best rates in the industry. They already had the best rates in the industry. Well, they got even better, 86% off USPS and UPS rates. It's not a question of if you should switch to ShipStation, but why haven't you already, you dummy? Switch to ShipStation. Joe Biden uses it. Make the new year your best year and grow your business with ShipStation. Use the promo code CHAOS today at ShipStation.com to sign up for your free 60-day trial. That's free 60-day trial. ShipStation.com, promo code CHAOS. Manage every order from one simple dashboard. We love ShipStation. Jasmine told me if I ever cheated on her, she was going to shit in a box and deliver it to my house wherever I was living using ShipStation. So... and she'll use the promo code CHAOS. Yeah, so what a beautiful thing, too, like we get to do, like with comedy. And even imagine you didn't have this talent, you know, like you would, like, I feel like this thing that you get to do, and like for you to go around, and it is educational. Like my friends who, you know, who maybe haven't watched your special, I'm going to make them watch it and be like, this is the truth about Apu.
Yeah, there you go.
not the other bullshit.
By the way, 99% of Indians are pissed off that Apu is off the Simpsons, by
I
the way.
I believe you.
Because that accent, that Apu accent, doesn't fucking exist back in India.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like a very New York, half here, half there kind of an accent. And also, I think like Akash talked about this or something, but he's like, immigrant guy, runs his own fucking business. Yeah. What is your problem? Like, why would you axe the story? Like, don't make Hank Azaria do the voice anymore. Yeah. Hire a fucking Indian person to do Apu. I am available.
Yes, I know. You know? I think Akash said Apu is lit. Is what he said. And then he stomped his feet.
Shade.
I love Akash. He won't come do the show.
Why?
Well, no, he didn't. No, because the last time he did the show with me, he got COVID, and everybody got COVID. Yeah. Akash is our boy. We love Akash.
I would like to ask, do you believe in ghosts? Any ghost experiences?
Oh, hell yeah. I was in Galesburg, Illinois. All right, I'll tell you two. So one, yes. I was... you know, in colleges, they have, especially in America, they have like the plastic beds with the mattresses with plastic because we're all jacking off and peeing at 2 p.m. But,
yes, 100%.
So I was sleeping.
That's why I'm wearing this jacket, because my Whitney Houston sweatshirt has a cum stain at the bottom.
I'm going to look now.
By the way, happy, before the ghost story, I just want to say happy belated MLK Day, Martin Luther King Day.
Yeah.
Happy belated. Just, you know, just real... pin in that story. I just want to know real quick, what are you doing for MLK Day, and who's the MLK of India?
The MLK of India, I want to say, is Mahatma Gandhi, you know?
Shout out Gandhi.
shout out Gandhi.
Make it merch.
It's a great band name, by the way. Ladies and gentlemen, shout out Gandhi.
Shout out Gandhi.
But I don't know that much about Martin Luther King. I know what everybody knows is that he had a dream.
Yes.
And then we all were like, okay, he has a dream. Let's not get into the dream. Let's just be like, you have one.
Well, as you've educated me, Vera, I'd like to encourage you to go to youtube.com/ChristyComedy and watch the recent episode of my YouTube segment I put out called Christeries, where I pick a different historical fact or figure and I do a history lesson, comedy history lesson for 15 minutes. We just did one about Martin Luther King.
Nice.
Might be something nice to jerk off to on the flight.
Yeah, done.
Sorry.
Because as a brown man with a beard, flying is easy enough as it is.
I feel like
we caught him in the bathroom jacking off.
Do you feel that's lesson though? The harassment,
Chris,
at the airport.
I have to dress like I'm buying the fucking airline. Do you understand? Like, like other people get to go on planes in like sweatpants and Crocs. I have to dress to the fucking nines to fly internationally so that I don't get harassed.
You know what would be a weird thing to try? Like you and I both walk through the airport, both wearing like, you know, what would Americans would find scary, like turbans and cloaks. And we both, I have a turban and a cloak on, you have a turban and a cloak on, and we walk and see you get stopped.
You will get stopped. Like big white guy with a turban and a cloak, you'll be like, he converted. Yeah. And that's far more dangerous. That is, you know.
I'm the new Jihadi John. So sorry, get back to the ghost story. Okay, I don't mean to, I just had to cut you off, but in the name on MLK Day, I feel like, right? And by the way, on MLK Day, I don't know if you know, in New York, I'm sorry, in America, St. Patrick's Day, where they say everybody's Irish, I think MLK Day, everybody's black.
I would disagree with that.
Okay. Back to the ghost.
We all just walking around saying things we shouldn't on MLK
Day. You can say the N-word.
Which Indian guys in America do quite a bit. And I'm like,
shout out Akash Singh.
Really? Okay. Ghost.
Ghost. Let's do it.
I'm sleeping and I feel somebody sit down on the bed next to me. Right at the corner of the mattress.
Oh my God.
And I feel the mattress depress. And I turn around and I look behind me and the mattress is depressed. Like somebody's sitting on the corner. And then I think they saw me looking back, the ghost or whatever, and they just got up and I saw the mattress go like that.
You saw this?
I saw this. And I was just like, whoever you are, please don't rape me. Like, I don't know if ghosts rape. I don't know if that's a thing. But I was just like, I'm just like, please leave me alone.
That's a funny thing to say to the ghost. Please don't rape me. Because if that was me, I would be like that, leg open. I'd be like, please fucking rape me.
That, and then in my apartment in Mumbai, when I first moved there, this is pre-flat screen TV. So I had like one of those thick fucking, you know, the big TVs. And I had two remotes on top of the TV.
Okay.
And there's like a big bass crash on whatever I was watching. And the two remotes kind of go and like fly off the TV and land on the floor, right? I go down, I pick them both up. And because I'm a bachelor, the fucking backs of the remotes are gone. They've been lost like for ages.
Yeah.
And the batteries are gone, right? In all, in both the remotes, so four batteries are gone. And I kind of start looking around the apartment. I don't see them. I put the two remotes back on the TV. My futon is across the hall, right? So I kind of walk around. I sit down like on my couch and I'm just like, where the fuck did these batteries go? I swear to God, with like between my feet, four perfectly placed batteries.
Wow.
Just like they were packed, just like there. And I was just like, thank you.
You didn't say whoever you are, don't rape me?
Don't rape me, no. Oh. By then I knew.
Wow, dude. Because Mumbai feels like, I would assume there's a lot of, was a lot of death and destruction there throughout.
Yeah.
So it feels like it would be like a haunted place. Like Mumbai feels like it'd be like the New Orleans of India.
There's a place called Mukesh Mills, which is like this old industrial compound. And like Bollywood shoots a lot of stuff there. There is not a stuntman or a lighting guy who will shoot there post 6 p.m.
Because
they get dragged into corners, beaten up by a ghost, put back out. Like, it's legitimately fucking haunted.
I genuinely believe that.
Well, me and Chris used to watch ghost videos on his YouTube, and every video is from India. Yeah, like, what is the role of ghosts in Indian culture?
I mean, it depends. We're very religiously diverse. So, you know, in Islam, they're called jinns and jinnats. And in Hinduism, they're called other stuff as well. And then the most, I'm making a movie about this soon, but the scariest fucking thing you will ever see in India is something called a chudail. All right, a chudail is a female witch, and she's undead, but she takes the shape of a beautiful woman.
Right,
and the only way to discover if a chudail is a witch is they have backwards feet.
Right.
And they run at you with backwards feet.
That's actually freaky.
Yeah.
Now, everybody, you're making a movie. Everybody says this, like if you're in a movie or a TV show, like comics in America, they're like, oh, if you need a wacky neighbor, I'll be in your city, a wacky neighbor. If you need a white person to be sacrificed, if you need a white guy that you're going to sacrifice and light on fire for the sins of India, you pick me and you fucking light my ass on fire.
The one horror movie in the world where the white guy dies first.
Yes. I want to be that white guy. I got to see Mumbai.
As opposed to just me. Every horror movie is some Indian going like, I'm going to go in there. Why? No.
Would you ever consider fully moving to America? What do you think?
I'm going
to
give it like a half shot. I'm writing my new hour in New York.
Well, America's going to give you a full shot.
Thank you, sir. but we're coming in like March 1st, and I think we're going to be here for like 6 months.
In New York or LA?
In New York.
Oh my God.
I can't do LA.
I know. You're not in LA.
No.
Listen, no disrespect to LA. It's a fine American city, yeah. But you know, it's on fire. It's been on fire a lot lately. The weather's bad. I've said this in the beginning of the show before you walked in. Jesus Christ, you know, our Lord and Savior, He wanted the America to just be the original 13 colonies.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted, you know, and everybody who's moved west, it's all problems out there. There's serial killers, people die in hiking accidents.
You need a car to get a toothbrush in LA. It's ridiculous.
No, thank you. You're a New York guy, and I felt like you had New York energy. Well, yeah, he has real New York energy on the special, like, you know, tight jokes, cut, big laughs. So if you move to New York, man, it's going to be great. Dude, we're getting all these people to New York. You're going to move Andrew Santino, you know, the whiskey junior.
I loved his special, man. It's a good special.
Cheeseburger.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Cheeseburger. Great special. And he's going to move to New York. And, dude, we're going to get New York. We're coming back, baby.
I also wanted to know, what was the weirdest part about living in Africa?
Nigeria is, it's the most creative, like, Nigerians are wonderful people. They're like Indians. They're just sort of big, emotional, dramatic, amazing people.
Yes.
But they're also, when it comes to sort of, I've never seen people more creative about crime than in Lagos, Nigeria. Like in Lagos, there's this thing where, for a while, you never shook hands with people.
Okay.
Right, because a guy would have a blade on his finger like that.
And so, what was the point of that?
Why? So he'd be like, shake my hand, and then be like, I'll slit your wrist.
If you don't give me whatever you... Wow.
Which is kind of badass, right? Yeah, very fucking creative. Yeah. That is some Peaky Blinders shit, you know?
Yeah.
So I was like, but they're amazing people.
Yeah.
But in Lagos, Indians are very sheltered, right? So you live in these kind of gated, armed guard communities, etc.
Oh, wow.
But that and then... I just ate a fuck ton of beef, man, which is nice to do. Yo, as me.
Let me tell you something. I used to be a bartender at on these, you know, private yachts, these really nice yachts. So there was a Nigerian wedding on once, and they wanted all they want so much beef, where the owner of the boat was like, I can't put a beef order this in. And then they wanted beef on pizza, beef everything, beef. And they were like, does it matter what animal? And they were like, beef. And they just wanted beef. And then, you know, after I was on, there was a great party. I actually think that's one of the parties where somebody, they were fine, but they got so drunk, they fell off the boat. That would happen sometimes. And that, I remember that party, this guy, we had to like, he got him in. It was no
problem. You know, African people in boats, not a good history. I'm just saying. You know.
He got triggered and he jumped. But what I learned about Nigeria is they, I don't know, factually, if it's backed up, it might be, but they believe themselves to be, they are the top ranking African nation financially, and they are like the top guys. They have the most doctors, the most lawyers, the most wealth. Nigeria, and this guy told me this. He goes, we are as racist against other black people as white people are. Nigeria goes, we think we're number one, and we're racist against the other African nations. I was like, interesting.
I believe that. Yeah. And also, Africa has this wonderful sentiment when it comes to America, where they're like, which is true, like, Africans are like, we love how America has claimed all the black people.
Yeah.
You know, where you have under 8% of the black people on earth.
Yeah.
And yet you represent black culture somehow.
Yeah.
Like 92% of the black people in the world are not in America.
Yeah.
That's black culture.
Right. Yeah. I mean, America, we're like every Chet Hanks is black.
is that the reggae guy?
Yes, Tom. Could you imagine Tom Hanks? Imagine being Tom Hanks and your son is Chet Hanks. Why do you think Tom feels?
I saw Tom Hanks cuss the other day, which was great. Did you see that?
Tom Hanks cursed?
Yeah, he was like, get the fuck away from my wife.
And,
a paparazzi pushed her or something like that.
Oh,
and I was like,
really?
And I was like, dad's angry.
Did you see
you know?
His name came out on Epstein's flight log that got published?
Tommy Hanks?
Yeah, he took a flight one time.
Who knows? Wasn't he renting his jet like to people to go like not to his island as well?
Who knows how many people?
I don't know. Because remember in the beginning of the pandemic, they're like, he's a Greek pedophile.
Well, allegedly he was on that plane. It's a bad plane to be on.
What names are on that? Because I feel like the media...
It's public. It just got published, so...
But the media doesn't care or talk about it that much. Like, they're not...
I don't think there's
Wasn't
ads
he allegedly CIA or something like that?
Tommy
like,
Hanks?
No. He did big because it was a...
Forrest Gump? Jeffrey Epstein was CIA?
That's the law
is that I would believe that, you know, that
like he was just getting dirt on people and, yeah, kind of like
I would believe it.
I did want to ask, as an African, as somebody from Africa, yeah, who lived there, how did Elon Musk grow up? What do you think that situation was like?
I think he grew up in a very nice part of South Africa.
Right.
But, you know, Elon Musk is I don't know. He's like, if you've ever gone, like if you've ever gone fruit shopping with an Indian mother, you know, she doesn't want the fruit. She just wants the fruit guy to know that he needs her, you know? And I think that's Elon Musk with Twitter. He doesn't want Twitter. He just wants Twitter to know that they need him.
I feel like that's a new show. It's Shopping with Indian Mothers. That literally is a show I'd watch where you take somebody and they just go fruit shopping with an Indian mother. And that's like the new Impractical Jokers.
And then you find out you've been charged 800% for everything your entire life. You're just like, I've been lied to.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I feel like...
But can you bargain? Like, given a choice, have you had to like be like, no?
No, I literally pay whatever price is offered, even if it's 10% marked up. I'm too nervous to even kind of rebuttal with someone. I'm just like, I'll pay whatever you want me to pay. I just give you the money and leave. The only people I've ever... You know Mo Ammer?
Yeah, of course.
Love Mo Ammer. Another guy with great special. I think his show Mo has just got renewed for season 2 on Netflix, so congrats to him. Good friend of mine. I went into, he used to stay with me, stay at my house when he was, you know, first getting into New York comedy. And we went into a store once and he negotiated, like we bought like sodas, chips, yeah, gum, and he negotiated the price. It came out to like $11. He was like, I'll give you 10. Yeah. And the guy was like, it's literally $11. Like, I'll give you $10. $10. These bags of chips, you know, they're not fresh. I'll give you $10. And the guy just was like, all right. And just took the 10. And I was like, what the hell? And he was like, dude, he was like, he grew up in Palestine, in, yeah, Houston. He was like, in Palestine, that's what you do.
So here's
negotiate
the show.
The price.
You and me go, we buy a bunch of shit, we negotiate, but we do it at Prada. How about that?
Yeah.
Be like,
yeah.
No.
No. Well, I guess you can always negotiate. You can always talk, say, I'm not going to pay. I mean, that's what car shopping is, right? When you never, yeah, buy a car off the sticker price. Unless, remember the car company Saturn? Remember,
yeah,
Saturn's?
Yeah. Yeah.
That was their thing. They were like, you can't negotiate with us. You just pay the sticker price.
Dude, I went to, my wife wanted these sneakers that were, I think they were Gucci or something, but they had like the Donald Duck kids, like Huey, Dewey, and Louie or something like that on them.
Okay.
Or maybe it was Mickey Mouse or something. And I went to this Gucci store in Beverly Hills on fucking Rodeo Drive, yeah, or whatever, yeah, right? Yeah. And she had pre-ordered them and I went in and they were expensive fucking sneakers. And the guy behind the counter who was fixing it was a Gucci guy, but he was Indian.
Yeah.
Right. So he's just speaking Hindi to me. And there's a bunch of like Gucci salespeople who give, yeah, you like a glass of Prosecco when you walk, yeah, in and all of that stuff. And in Hindi, he's like, what the fuck are you doing here? And I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, you're paying, I think these were $800 sneakers or something like, yeah, that. He's like, do you know how much these things cost to make? And, yeah, I'm like, no. He's like, they cost like $100.
Wow. And they're marking it up $700.
Yeah. And he's like, I can get you a hookup.
Yeah, yeah. He's like, I make them in the back.
But it's just nice to have a guy look out for you where he, right, was like, no, man, you shouldn't be paying this, yeah, much for this.
I
shit.
Would not get that treatment. They'd be like, it's $1,000 for you with your stupid hair. Yeah. Yeah, by the way, this belt, you wore a similar belt, didn't
on
you?
On the special, yeah.
Yeah, so what is there significance with this belt?
No, this is a guy across the road from the Soho Grand Hotel. Like, so my special, the shirt I bought on Amazon.
Which
for
is
like
not
10,
where you're staying.
Which
you're
is,
not staying at
I'm
the,
not staying at
actually,
the Soho.
Actually, when do you leave?
I leave tonight.
Oh, that's where you stay.
Yeah, that's
the Soho
saying.
Grand.
Yeah,
yeah, this comes out tomorrow.
So this is a shop, this is a shop across the road, yeah, where he sells these pants.
Yeah, stuff. because oh, so these are the actual pants from the special.
But those were black, but I bought black and gray. So yeah, these are
nice, and they got that cool little belt. I like those pants because I kept looking at that belt. When you see the special, he's got a, and I, because at first I was like, is that a religious thing? I had no idea. No. But it's just like, literally the pants.
Yeah. I feel like you need a big like belt buckle. That'd be good for you.
I need a big belt buckle, and I got to be honest with you. I want to start to up my fashion game. I want to start wearing hats. I want to start wearing glasses, more jewelry. I know you have 3 cool stud earrings.
Yeah.
I want to start. What do I need? I want to start wearing rings. What do I need as accessories?
You need longer hair.
My hair's not long enough.
Yeah, and then you can do whatever the fuck you like.
So your hair, because your hair's longer,
yeah,
than mine.
Yeah, but I'm saying if both of us get longer hair,
okay,
then you can do whatever you want.
So like put it like, you're saying ponytail length.
Or even this much, like your hair is thick enough where you can grow it long and pull it off. So if you have non-comb over looking longer hair, Like the world is your oyster. Okay. I think.
So grow my hair out. Yeah. And then what do you wear jewelry wise? I see you got the earrings, but what else do you wear?
I mean, my wife will make me wear crystals sometimes. So I'll do that. But okay. No, apart from that, nothing else.
I got you know what I'm saying? I want to get a chain. I'm going to get a watch. Do you have a nice watch?
I don't wear watches.
What's the reason for that? Is time racist?
Yeah. Okay. It is, yeah. Ooh, British Standard Time.
Yeah. Not a watch guy. You're like, I got the time on my cell phone.
Yeah.
I guess it's practical.
Yeah.
Practical, yeah. I went through a phase when I was traveling. I was traveling with a guy I traveled with. His name's Tommy, great guy, and he's 25 and he's hip, he's cool. He's got the long hair.
Yeah.
He was wearing like a Sherpa denim jacket. He's got these rings on. He's got the cool tattoos. And I was like, I kind of look like shit. I got to just get better. I kind of look like an idiot. I've never cared about fashion. I've never cared about it. And I kind of feel like, let me at least take a month of my life, 2 months of my life to care about something that I haven't cared about, like fashion. As I'm getting older, I'm realizing rather than being set in my ways, I think as I get older, I should try new things, try a lot more new things all the time.
So I did this, my wife and I have this rule now, which is kind of like privileged asshole minimalism.
Okay.
But we kind of said, okay, any amount of money on travel, hospitality, food, concerts, and experiences. Right, so
you're willing to spend that.
Willing to spend that, but we're not shopping and we're not buying clothes. Right, so last year I did 25 countries without check-in luggage. So I have 5 t-shirts, I have 2 sweaters, I have 2 pairs of pants, some workout clothes, and like I went.
You wore the same thing to multiple shows. You didn't care.
I didn't care. Right, but I'll fly a good airline. I'll get a good room. Yes. We'll eat in the best restaurant. We'll get front row seats.
Got it.
And you will save days, like literally days on a world tour where you're able to see the world. Like if you just take the amount of time you spend at baggage claim or the amount of time you spend shopping and you take that away, you will literally gain like 5 days in your year.
Yeah, and what they always say, I feel like vacation people or travel people, bloggers always say the same thing, pack light. They always say pack light and travel light.
Yeah.
And you do that and you felt...
I feel great, but I mean, you also, I think as a comic, you have to be at the point where your rider can be like, okay, in the green room, I need hairspray and like a toothbrush and shaving, etc. So that has to be waiting for you where you go.
Right.
So then you don't have to check anything in.
Anything in. Ever. Well, yeah, I have, in my rider, the only thing I have is Siggy's yogurt.
That's it.
And
that's Siggy's, available everywhere?
Siggy's plain yogurt. If they don't have Siggy's, actual Siggy's, I don't do the show. It's got to be Siggy's Icelandic Skyr yogurt. Plain, and then I mix it with a little cinnamon, a little honey, and if it's Saturdays, chocolate, because I only have sweets on Saturdays. That's my thing.
I'm just picturing you before a show eating a tiny bowl of yogurt. it's the best visual there.
Yeah. And then usually, sometimes I'm eating it as the openers bring me up, and I have a little on the side, and I let the crowd think what they want. I'm like, was I eating yogurt or watching a Veer Dow special? You never know. Do you want waterproof, water-resistant shoes? Tell me if you want them. I'll wait. Of course you do. Then you got to use Vessi. I have Vessi shoes. They're waterproof. They're water resistant. And my feet sweat. And I got sweaty. I just got sweaty sausage feet. And they sweat. And guess what? When I take my foot out, my shoes are dry because Vessi's waterproof, water resistant shoe is the best. The shoes are a game changer. And how about this? I just learned this little life hack. You know when your shoes get wet and you have soggy, cold, gross feet all day? Well, these Vessi shoes will literally prevent that from ever happening again. Why doesn't the Army use Vessi shoes? All you ever hear about the Army is, you know, especially Vietnam, it's like you need to make sure your socks are dry. People were getting their feet amputated. Vessi shoes, baby. Vessi shoes needs to sponsor the next war. Vessi shoes will keep soldiers' feet dry. Vessi shoes will literally keep your feet as dry as I keep girls' pussies. So Vessi is awesome. And the Cloudburst shoe, the Vessi Cloudburst shoe, that's the best one to have in the winter. All the features of a rubber winter boot built into a sneaker. Vessi rubber is the only rubber I'll wear. I love Vessi so much. They're my go-to shoes. They're by my door all the time. Vessi, I take them. I wear them out to hang out. I wear them out to take the trash. I wear them when I'm sleeping in a hotel. Vessi. Now, right now, if you use my code, right now, all you got to do is you go to vessi.com. That's VESSI.com/chaos. You're going to get 15% off your entire order, plus free shipping to certain states and country. Actually, no, free shipping to every state in the United States and all these other countries, Canada, U.S., Australia, all these places. It's going to be great. Korea, I think. Vessi.com/chaos. 15% off your order. Let me see those rubbers.
If you do edibles, I look just like Aziz Ansari. Just do it.
Yo, Veer, you,
Aziz is awesome.
You should be on that show, Hot Ones.
What's Hot Ones?
Hot Ones is a big show. Sean Evans, who I think Vanity is secretly dating. Sean Evans.
The chicken wing show?
Yes.
Yeah.
We had him in here last week. Okay. And you know, he books it out and you know, whatever. But I think you should be on Hot Ones because with the spice of certain Indian food, you'd be like, is this the hot one?
Yeah, this is just ones.
You'd be like, this is cold. This is just ones.
I do have another question. Go ahead. What is the most dangerous or weirdest thing that's happened on the road after hitting all those countries?
I have performed at gunpoint. That's been fun.
Wow.
Like, what do you mean? Like, they were like,
And this guy's done this to like five other comics. He's just a promoter who, you know, I was doing five shows for him. And
what country are we talking?
I don't want to say because, you know, because he's done it to a bunch of guys. But I was like, you need to pay me. You haven't paid me for my advance or anything like that. And he's like, you're going to get on stage right now. Wow. So I just did a show. And
knowing you weren't getting a dollar.
I hadn't gotten a dollar yet. He paid me, by the way.
Right.
But he was just in the wings with a gun.
The whole performance?
No, he sent me off on stage. And I was just like, good evening, everyone.
Yeah. I'm Veer Das.
And it's in the corner.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did you feel like you had a better set, though? Because you were literally
much better. Yeah. that's what I needed at NYU, just a guy. And I'm in the right country for it. So,
yes.
So there you go.
Wow. That is something that I after a show, got a knife held to my throat. But it was after, and I was open micer level. But to have the gun before the show.
Yeah.
And to know, like, was there a part of you thinking, like, should I run off stage? Could I get shot after this? Like, were you in fear for your life at all?
No, I have to deal with a strange thing at shows sometimes where some people who come and see me have never seen a stand-up show before, but they've seen a Bollywood movie. You know, so they're like, okay, it's the guy from that movie. Now let's go see the show.
Got it.
So then they have sort of different reactions to a stand-up special, right? So once I had a like an Indian uncle, so he was about 60, 65 years old, and he was with his daughters, and his daughters were laughing, and uncle got insecure, and he's like, why is my daughter laughing at like a blowjob joke or something like that? So, and so mid-show, and I think there's 2,500-3,000 people on off stage, this big Indian man just kind of comes on to stage, grabs the mic, and he goes, you don't abuse, all right? And I was like, what? And he's like, stop cussing. My daughters are here. Do a clean show, right?
Wow.
And just walk the fuck off stage.
What?
And I did not cuss once.
Yeah, what do you even say after that to get the crowd back?
I was just like, I agree. Because he was 6'3" and legitimately had three daughters who were cracking up. And I was like, I get it. Fucking, okay, respect. I won't cuss.
Wow.
So then at that point, you're like, okay, clean material, clean material.
Because
clean
you really don't care. Landing was almost minimal. If it was, you don't even notice it.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow. Yeah, that's interesting. It is, you know, so I hosted a show for Netflix five, 6 years ago. It was called The Ultimate Beastmaster.
Okay.
And it was basically it was like a American Ninja Warrior type show. But one of the countries that was participating was India. India had a team. And, you know, myself and Tiki Barber, the old NFL New York Giants running back, were the host for Team USA. And then the host for Team India was this girl, Sarah Jane Diaz.
She's amazing.
Amazing. And then Vidyut.
Jamal?
Yes.
Dude, that's a badass guy right there.
Dude, that guy was unbelievable.
That is Sarah and a proper action star right there.
That guy was crazy. I mean, he told me, like, I remember one time we were, like, showing up to the set, and I was like, oh, what'd you do today? He goes, I jump rope for 3 hours. I was like, what'd you do today? He goes, I jump rope for 3 hours. Oh, yeah. And I was like, holy shit, without
that dude's
stopping.
Muscles have muscles.
He is so jacked. He did a thing, and I was like, how did you even do this? There's a scene in a movie, and he showed us, like, video of him practicing with two cars. The car windows open, the passenger side and the driver's side, and he jumps through. Unbelievable. But anyway, Sarah and Vidyut, awesome people. They, you know, it was a late night shows, cursing, whatever, but they were like, the Netflix producers would be in their ear like, oh, make this joke, make that joke. And they were like, no, our country's not going to like that. Our country's not, we're going to do it clean and wholesome.
Yeah.
And that's the way they did it. And they wouldn't, because Team India, because the thing is with Team USA and Team Great Britain, they had ex-Olympic athletes showing up to this competition, where Team India kind of had like people from the neighborhood.
Yeah.
So they weren't getting very far. And they would be like, oh, let's make a joke about, you know, they would tell us, let's make a joke about, make fun of Team India for playing so bad. And after, like, they made me, asked me to make that joke like a week or two into competition, I was like, I don't think Sarah and Vidyut are going to like that. They have, like a lot of like pride. And then, I was like, if they're going to make a joke about their country, let them do it. But they wouldn't. Vidyut and Sarah were like, we're going to keep this wholesome. But what I liked about them is they didn't judge me for taking brand and making fun of it, and, you know, saying I'm going to stick a fork up my ass, whatever. They were like, they were like, that's funny, but we're just not going to do that.
Yeah,
I respected that.
But I think most, like, at least the thing I like about a Netflix or an Amazon right now is, even in comedy, like, we've stopped thinking of American comedians relative to Indian comedians, or Indian comedians relative to American comedians. We're just like, no, it's, this is our thing and this is your thing.
Yeah.
And they don't have to kind of, you know.
Yeah. And now it's just all comedians. I saw another a great comic on Netflix. Ramesh from Britain.
Ranganathan. Yeah.
Yes. Ranganathan.
Good stuff.
Good stuff. I found myself engulfed in his comedy, and I was like, you know, he's showing about his mom's life and all this stuff, and I was like, that's the good thing about Netflix is that you know, you get to see this comedy and these points of view from all over the world, and they support trans people.
They do, yeah.
But do you? Does India?
For much longer than you guys have, by the way.
Yeah, I was going to, well, because the thing is, India, I feel like you guys are the original trans. Like, you guys have trans in the scripture back in the, I mean, everybody's a man
in the culture,
as
part of the kingdom, as part of
everybody, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, but do you see, is being like, you know, gay and transgender in the streets of Mumbai, you'll see it just like you see it in New York, or is it a little bit more conservative?
It's earlier, you know, so we legalized homosexuality, I want to say, you know, later than some of the Western countries, but we have a pride parade.
You do?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
There's publications, there's media journals. It's
nobody's going to get beat in the streets because they're openly gay in Mumbai.
No, not
it's
at all.
Fucking great.
It's like New York. Mumbai is exactly like New York with 6.5 million times more the people.
More people.
Yeah, but
so India is probably the same as the United States. It's like the big cities in Mumbai, it's like everything's okay. But then when you go to the outskirts, if you go to the south here, if you go to the outskirts there, that's when you see these like nothing is okay. Like people are getting killed.
Yeah, but I think that's every country. Like there's so many of us come over to the US because we're like, Chicago, New York, we've seen 10 movies.
No, literally the only country in the world that you won't find that where like everyone is just doing the right thing is Scandinavia.
Yeah, no, they're amazing. Yeah. Yeah. Viking morality.
Veer, so what we got to get you out of here. Do you have anything else for the rest of the day? What are you doing?
I'm going to do one more podcast. I'm going to try and, I want to write a book. So I'm going to go and meet some people and see if they'll give me a book.
I really have to get better at my career.
No, you don't. You just have to find what's next. Like I'm saying, like, I think for you, that's super important and super fun.
Yeah. What am I passionate about,
like,
next?
You're going into your next special. Are you going to do one soon? Are you going to film one soon?
Well, I was thinking I'll wait a year.
Yeah.
Right? How long do you wait between them?
I went too quick. I'm not going to do one for another 2 years at the very least.
Yeah. You know what the problem is right now? Actually, today, if you ask me today, we filmed our special last March. I like my material now, and I think it's timely. I think I'm saying something, you know, a lot of our comics here are you know, a little bit more center liberal. I'm a little bit more center, not to the right, but people would look at it and be like, oh, he's a little bit more conservative than some of his peers. And so I liked him, but it's all fun coming from a good place, you know. And so I'm like, I want to put this material out now, but I have a tour set up through. Yeah. So I'm like, I can't put out the special and then do the same material that you saw in the special on the live show, especially a theater show. So I'm going to wait. I think to the end of this year is when I'm doing Radio City. Oh, actually, we can't say that yet, but we're going to announce a big show in New York soon. And then maybe after that, just get, kind of, that'll be like my, you know, I'll probably bomb the night before I do that big show like you, because it's something that's the thing, like, that's like a pinnacle, you know. I'm from New York, so that's like a big
venue. Like Mumbai, I want to do a cricket ground in Mumbai, you know, and that's That's our equivalent of the big New York venue. You know, so like that's my dream as well.
Dude, how about this? My stepson, not into sports, didn't want to play sports. Staten Island, where I live, has a Staten Island Cricket League. We got him into cricket.
What?
He's literally a half white, half Puerto Rican, 11-year-old boy, not in sports at all, loving cricket. And I'm trying to learn it with him.
Yeah.
But it's so complicated to understand that game. But little by little, we're understanding what a wicket is.
Yo, that's beautiful. Like, yeah. I just picture you in the stands, like, do the thing quicker.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm like, come on, I'm blowing the game. I'm like treating it like baseball.
No, but my point is, coming back to that, your next special, everybody's rooting for you.
Yes.
You know? But this first Netflix special wasn't your first special, right?
No, I had a special on Comedy Central, but nobody sees it. Yeah.
So then this is your second special.
This is my second.
Like, it's your second album. It's like the second Led Zeppelin album. It's like the second, you know, so you blew up and now...
Now I got to do it.
Yeah, man.
Honestly, I just had this idea. What about if we do, after our big show in New York, we take December, do a special at the Cricket Crown?
There you go.
There you go.
In Staten Island or Mumbai?
Imagine that.
A bunch of kids like, I don't understand any of this.
I do a special at the Staten Island Cricket Ground. That's hilarious. No, dude, the special at the Cricket Ground, we're going.
Oh, hell yeah.
Like my next special, I want to do either that or I want to do a club. Just like a filthy fucking, you know.
Yeah.
A special where you can't breathe. Like,
Nice. Yeah, COVID special.
COVID special, yeah. like a club special, like a cello special or something like that. That'd be kind of fun.
I feel like that'd be cool. But I feel like the only thing with the is a lot of at least people here are doing that. I would do it club special in another country. Nobody does that. Nobody does.
Interesting.
And you see a lot of people do their special at the Comedy Cellar or, you know, whatever. I feel like you're different than that. You'll find your own spin on what a club is, but it's not like just at a comedy club. You'll figure it out.
I have 3 minutes about farting during a massage right now. That's all the material I have. So I have to write.
Nice massage. All right. V, any questions? Anything you want to ask before we let Veerdas go to his next podcast? Who's the next podcast, by the way?
Sam and Mark.
Oh, Sam and Mark. I love Sam and Mark. Sam and Mark, if you're listening, I'm going to come on your podcast and I'm going to get drunk and I'm going to start spilling secrets I have about the both of you. And I'm going to start sharing our text messages. Drinking Bodega Cat. You're going to drink their whiskey, Bodega Cat.
Oh, okay.
They have a great whiskey called Bodega Cat. And love Sam and Mark. Great guys. I just came from Mark's hometown, New Orleans. And Sam's got the best eyebrows in the business.
He does.
He's got bushy eyebrows.
They're up there, but you know.
So when do you leave tonight? What's your flight leave?
11 p.m.
Oh, so you're all day. You're just going to stay out. Now, are you going to just try to stay up and, you know, fucking just not even sleep and like just kind of get drunk, you know, 29 hours? Like, who gives a fuck? Or do you go healthy onto an airline?
I'm going
to
get smashed as fuck. When you release a special is when you are mentally done with the special, you know? And so it's weird to release a special and then spend 20 days, you know, talking about something that is no longer really part of your story.
Right.
So I think when I get on that flight, I'm kind of letting this special go.
Good.
You know, and I'm just going to kind of get smashed and watch a movie.
Are you with your wife or is you here alone?
No, she's waiting in Goa. So I'm going to go see her.
Wow. Good. You get home, get the wife, have some sex, jerk off in the airport, on the airline, and it's going to be great. What a great... Guys, go to patreon.com/ChristyComedy. We didn't even get to your guys' questions. Go write questions for Veerdas now. I'm going to answer the questions next week because Veerdas has to go. I'm going to answer the questions next week as Veerdas.
Done.
Because one thing I do feel after spending an hour plus with you is I feel Indian, and it feels good.
I feel Scandinavian, and I feel good as well.
We're taking over the world. Thank you, Veer.
Oh, man. Good to see you.
Have a beer with Veer. That's my new show.